Kia ora and welcome to Aaron's Podcast, episode 205. Today is Tuesday, March 23rd, 2010. Welcome to day two of this daily podcasting experience. It's not an easy thing to do, as I found out last time I tried it, and I'm sure it's going to get even harder as the week goes on, but be that as it may. Now, there has been a slight change to the schedule. I am still doing the immigration equality interview this week. It's been delayed a week until Thursday, North American time, so that will now become my Thursday show. And the Friday show will be the recording of the group show the previous night, Thursday night. So what that means is that today's show, the following day and the day after that, are all of the shows where there will be questions asked. The final two shows of the week, again, just sticking to North American time, Thursday and Friday, will not have questions in them. So that gives you 2 days, basically, to get yourself together, because the deadline for getting your entries in will be midnight Friday, North American time. That is 12 midnight, you know, between Friday and Saturday, so we're clear what day we're talking about. Eastern, what is it, Standard Time, I guess now. No, Eastern Daylight Time in North America, whatever you're on now, I don't remember. Midnight on Friday. So as long as, you know, you get it sent off by then, it's time-stamped or faxed or whatever it is you want to do, that gives it several hours to get to me. And you're more than welcome to send me a direct message on Twitter that you've done it, whatever. Whatever works for you, it doesn't matter. So you'll have 2 days to get yourself together, get your questions all aligned and ready to rumble. And, of course, at the moment, we have 10 questions that have been asked, 10 questions and answers. And I should go over the rules one more time. All you need are 5 questions, just the numbers. You don't have to write down the questions, and the correct answers. And once you have a set of 5, you can enter. Now, you can enter as many times as you want, but you have to have 5 different questions and answers. So there are, as we are right now, since I've asked 10 questions, that means that there's now the opportunity to have 2 entries, and some people have already done so. So if you haven't entered the competition, you may want to get a move on. At this point, I'm planning on doing a live drawing over Pride 48. We'll see. It depends on if anything's going on at that time, or I may just schedule it for then, but I will be tweeting about that. So if you follow me on Twitter or Amarin's Podcast, which is one word, I will be posting a note there, and I will probably put something up on amarinspodcast.com announcing the time. So if you want to hear the drawing live, you'll be able to. Now, I'm going to ask Nigel to do the actual drawing, so it's completely unbiased. And the way it's going to work is that every correct entry, the name will go onto a piece of paper. They will all be the exact same size piece of paper, and they'll all go into a hat or whatever, a bag. And I will draw, or actually Nigel, hopefully. I haven't asked him this yet, you see. We'll draw the winner, and I will announce it then. The following day, do a video of what's in the prize pack, so anyone who's interested can see what all of the bits and pieces in the prize pack were. And so that's it. That's it about the competition for now. Now, I do want to talk a little bit about healthcare today because of the move in Washington, and I wanted to just reiterate some of the main differences between the system that we have here and have had for a long time and what exists in the U.S. And I'm actually not going to, I shouldn't say contrast so much as just compare, because I'm just going to tell you what we've got. First of all New Zealand citizens and permanent residents are covered by the National Health Scheme, which means that nobody needs private health insurance. I have private health insurance, which costs me about $100 a month. It's actually a bit of a Cadillac policy. I should cut it back or eliminate it because I don't really need it. But what it does, what the private insurance allows me to do is, well, actually, I'll come back to private insurance. Let's first just talk about what's covered. Essentially, all medical procedures, surgery, generally speaking, x-rays, routine tests, are all covered by the National Health Scheme. You don't pay for any of that stuff. You do pay for your visit to your doctor, but for most people, those are subsidized by the government. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean subsidized by a lot, but it does mean that they're subsidized. How much it costs depends on a lot of factors that is too complicated to go into. I mean, among other things, it depends on how long you're with your doctor. The last time I went, it was $35. I know other people who've spent $50. So, you know, there is variation as far as that goes. But if your doctor refers you to a specialist, that'll be covered as well. And all of that is paid for out of income tax, primarily. Income tax is a tiered system, much like the U.S., and as your income goes up, obviously so does the income tax bracket. Our top tax rate is 38% currently for those earning $65,000 a year and above. That's New Zealand, of course. And it's the portion of your income, I believe it, I think the previous cutoff is $45,000. I could be wrong about that, but I think it's $45,000. So the portion of your income between $45,000 and $65,000 is on one rate, and the portion of your income that's above $65,000 is at that 38%, and so on. So as your income goes up, it's not like it's that 38% on all of your income. It's only on the portion above $65,000. And the current government is planning cuts to taxes across the board, pretty much, although most of it will be geared toward the higher end of the tax scheme. But that's how we pay for health insurance and education too, for matter, and police and fire and most other things. Some other things are aided by levies. For instance, if you buy homeowners insurance, or renters insurance for that matter, there's a small levy that goes to the fire service. If you buy car insurance, a small levy goes to the Accident Compensation Commission, which pays for both emergency care in case you're in an accident and also rehabilitation in case you're injured. And need it if you need rehabilitation services. The thing about the ACC coverage is that even non-residents are covered for that, so that if you're in an accident in New Zealand, as long as you're legal here legally, you're covered by the accident insurance. So if you're, say, like when I first came to New Zealand on a work visa, if I'd been injured, I still would have received all of the treatment and wouldn't have had to have paid for it because that comes out of my payroll tax. So that's how we all pay for it. That's what we get. Nobody here thinks that it's free. We all know better. We all know that we pay for it through our taxes. But we expect good service, and we get it. Now, the problem with any nationalized health scheme is that there are waiting lists, and there can be, well, for lack of a better word, prioritization of conditions. Those with the most acute conditions get treated first, and those with less severe conditions get treated later. And that's sort of as you'd expect. For instance, somebody who's having a heart attack gets treated before somebody who has twisted their ankle, we'll say. You know, it's all logical. There's nothing dark or secret about it. It's all perfectly logical, sort of a triage kind of thing going on where they deal to those with the most critical needs first. Now, that does sometimes mean that elective surgery or non-critical surgery can be delayed or rescheduled. And that does happen. But generally speaking, people with critical needs are dealt to quickly and, with all due deliberate speed, and they try to get it seen to, especially things like cancer or critical, maybe heart surgery that's needed urgently or something like that. Other things may take longer, and that's where private health insurance comes in. It allows you to jump the queues, essentially, by going to a private hospital to get things dealt with immediately. It's more of an issue for people who have elective things that they want to have done or non-critical things they just want to get it over with. But it can be an issue, too, as well for – it could, I should say, be an issue for things like cancer treatment if you need surgery to get it done immediately rather than having to be put onto the list and all that sort of stuff. But, I mean, we're talking about probably a difference of a couple of weeks, I would imagine, for that, a serious condition like that, whereas obviously elective things could take a lot longer. But most New Zealanders don't have private health insurance. I think only about a third do, from memory, and I do. Mine is too expensive, and I have too much coverage, and I need to pare it back. But nevertheless, that's sort of the way it is. Now, today, I thought another thing I would talk a little bit about is the system of government. And now, obviously, I've talked about that in past in a number of different ways. But whereas the United States is a constitutional federal republic, which means that it's a republic that is determined by the bounds of a constitution, New Zealand is a constitutional monarchy, which means that the monarch is the sovereign, is the head of state, but is governed by a constitution, which is essentially the body of law is passed by parliament because New Zealand doesn't have a written constitution. Both countries obviously are democracies because they both elect their governments. As I've said before, Our parliament has one house called the House of Representatives. They abolished the upper house a long time ago. And the way it works is that a government comes in, forms government, and they do their thing for a number of years. And then at the end of their term, they call an election and carry on to the election. Now, if Parliament loses confidence in the Prime Minister, they usually hold a confidence vote, it's called. And if the government loses the confidence vote, then the government falls. Now, if in our case, because we have multi-party democracy, it's possible that other parties could get together and form a government. But if they can't, then it would go back to the people who have an election. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, that nothing goes wrong, as it hasn't for the past years, but the government just decides that the polls are looking good, and they want to just go ahead and have an election anyway, and they can call an election. That's called a snap election. And that's held sometime, obviously, before their term is up. In New Zealand, a term of government for both the national government and local government is 3 years. The last local elections were in 2007, so they're up again this year, 2010. And the last national elections were held in 2008, and so the next ones will be in 2011. So this now is question number nine. Question number nine, how long is a normal term of government for New Zealand? And the answer is 3 years, because unless something goes wrong, the legal maximum for a government is 3 years. So there we go. We have 11 questions altogether now. So there you go. Now, my secret agenda behind a lot of these questions is to be able to talk about little bits of New Zealand trivia, obviously, but also to be able to talk about some topics that I might not otherwise be able to talk about because they're actually not big enough to talk about on their own, or because, they're, I don't know, they're just better done short. And a lot of the stuff that I have done has come from a site called, New Zealand History Online. And the URL is nzhistory.net.nz. And there's a wealth of information about New Zealand history. And one of the things I like the most is Today in History, where it tells you one specific thing that comes up. And I often do check that to see if there's anything that is current as of the date that that I'm recording my podcast. I don't always mention it, but I often have a look to see. And a number of the questions that have come up for this contest have actually come from This Day in History, or nzhistory.net generally, or also from Te Ara, the Encyclopedia of New Zealand. Now, I have links to both of those. Both of those are on my blog. I'm not sure if they're on the podcast site or not. I actually should have them on there if I don't. But actually, if I can digress for just a moment, I've put a widget on my blog down towards the bottom for recent New Zealand earthquakes. I'm trying it out to see if it actually works. It uses the same Spring widget that my podcast is loaded into on my blog. And it's essentially an RSS reader. That's all it is. And I'm just seeing if it actually records it, because I forget to go to the site to see about earthquakes. And so I thought, oh, I'll have them come to me, as it were. And I thought other people might be interested in it as well. Anyway, New Zealand History Online, nzhistory.net, was 10 years old in March 2009. So the question is, how old is NZ History on Net now? And the answer is 11 years old. Now that's another question. So that's 12 questions all up. So we're closing in quickly on having 15 and three chances to enter the competition. Very exciting. But that's it for today. I just want to do a short episode, talk about a couple more differences between New Zealand and the U.S. by implication, if nothing else. I will be back tomorrow with another episode and probably a longer topic. But before I go, one last thing. Obviously, I haven't been giving enough time for people to leave comments, but I did get an email about the last episode from Moose, who said that, it says, I buy gas at Costco. They have pay at the pump only, no cash accepted. When one can use debit, Amex, or Costco card. There's an attendant, but he's not permitted to accept money. Thanks for that, Moose. And I just think that that's really odd. I can't imagine not being allowed to accept cash, even though not all that. I mean, a lot of people don't use cash in New Zealand. I just can't imagine not being able to use it. And also, I can't imagine not being able to use a Visa or MasterCard either, because, I mean, Visa, it's accepted everywhere. But still, thank you for that. And if any of you want to leave a comment, you're of course welcome to, or you can send me an email, whatever works for you. But that's it for today. I'll be back tomorrow. Have a great day, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Gee, I don't say that very often. Bye.
You can leave a comment on this or any other episode of the Airman's Podcast at airmanspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at airmanspodcast.com, or you can ring my U.S. comment line on 206-666-5172. This podcast is produced and distributed on a Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.